Today's Survivor Exit Interview Special is sponsored by NatureBox. NatureBox ships great-tasting, wholesome snacks right to your door. Forget the vending machine and start snacking smarter with wholesome, delicious treats like dark cocoa almonds. Support the podcast by ordering a free NatureBox sampler box at naturebox.com/RHAP. That's right. Free NatureBox snacks are found at naturebox.com/RHAP. Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino here with our Amazing Race Final Four Exit Interview Special. And we are very excited because this is a very fun Final Four that we're going to get to talk to today. We were in shock on Friday night when it was Amy and Maya, the sweet scientists, who we're going to be talking to in just a little bit as the winners of the Amazing Race. Plus, in this show, we're going to talk with Jim and Misty, the dentist, Brooke and Robbie, the wrestlers, and of course, Adam and Bethany, the soul surfers, are going to join us on the podcast. A little bit of a different format today. I'm getting ready to go back east for the holidays. We've got our own Amazing Race planned, and I want to see any of these Amazing Race teams try to do this with a one-year-old, because that is hardly amazing, but we're doing it. We're getting ready to get on the plane, got my bags all packed, ready to go, but we're trying to get out the door and get these exit interviews in. So I am going to be doing the first of these three exit interviews, which are going to be with Sweet Scientists. Then I'm going to talk with Jim and Misty, and then talk to Brooke and Robbie, and then Jessica Leese is going to take over on the fourth interview, which is going to be with Adam and Bethany. So we're going to have all four teams, but you're only going to have me for three of them, and then Jess is going to take over and probably do a much better job than I would be able to do talking with Adam and Bethany. So that's our Amazing Race exit interview special. Of course, our Amazing Race wrap-up of the season finale was on Friday night. You can check that out on robhasawebsite.com. Also, what I'm especially excited about is I just posted a couple of hours ago. I was up late last night posting this, and I'm up early recording these interviews, but I got our Happy Holidays 3 Christmas and Holiday Spectacular. It's very long. It's going to probably take you until New Year's to get through it, but it's full of surprises like it is every year. So go ahead and check that out this week. Not a lot of shows coming this week, but we do have some fantastic stuff and some stuff. It's going to take you a while to get through. So go ahead and work on that as you're finishing up your gift wrapping or whatever you have to do this week to get ready for the holidays. But we're going to get ready right now to talk with the sweet scientists, the winners of Amazing Race 25, Amy and Maya, are you there?
Hey, Rob.
Amy and Maya, good morning.
How are you doing? Good morning.
Good morning. How are you all?
I'm doing good. Congratulations to you two, because...
Thank you, Rob.
Boy,
thank you.
I know a lot of people, myself included, did not see this coming, but I will say...
I know, right?
Hold on. Let me just say... I'm very happy for both of you that you guys were able to
win.
Thank
you, Rob. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. Well, give it to me that you guys, that I saw you guys recently. You said that I didn't give you any credit. So let me eat some crow. Give it to me.
Well, I mean, it's not that you didn't give us credit. You were kind of like, oh, there's the bottom of the totem pole. It was like, all right, they're like number four. They're not going to win.
You never said we were going to win. You were like, it's going to be a miracle.
However, you all did
say,
Jessica, that if the
Beacon
Boys can do it, anyone can do it. So there we have it.
We did it. There you go. You guys did it. And that's right. In the Amazing Race, all you have to win is that last leg. And that's exactly what you did. I want to ask Amy about that last challenge at the shipping yards, because I thought that was an incredibly difficult challenge. Amy, how long did that take you to complete?
I think about an hour and a half. Yeah, it was a tough challenge. Just when you're so tired and having gone through the whole race at that point, trying to remember things, reorder them, not take notes. But I think it was a challenge that definitely fit our strength. Either one of us could have been the one doing it, and I think we would have succeeded at it. It was a logic challenge. It was right up our alley.
Now, Amy, I know you had a major injury that you were dealing with that wasn't really covered too much on the show.
I actually came back and I went straight to a doctor and got an MRI. and I found out that I had 2 stress fractures in my lower pelvis. So, yeah, it was a pretty serious injury. I'm still recovering from it, but I'm no longer limping. I don't have stress fractures, so that's good, you know?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That I feel like that shouldn't you guys be getting more accolades than winning the Amazing Race on a broken pelvis?
I mean, we're fighters, Rob. We were not giving up. I mean, there are points we could barely walk. But Maya was a super supportive teammate. She knew how to kind of, like, cut her way through the crowd, so I didn't have to change direction too much. She always came. But she also knew that I was going to give her my best. I didn't want to let her down. I didn't want to let us down. I didn't want to be complaining about her wrestling. I mean, I was in pain from, like, 1. We don't hear us really talk about it until, like, 8. You know, we don't want to take advantage of the situation you're in and not be thinking about the bad things. You want to be enjoying the moments and working hard.
I think that Maya is rubbing off on you, Amy.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like the Amy that I know.
That's funny, Ron. I will admit, it's a little bit contagious. Like, I'm a little over the top, Ron. I can have to admit, it's a bit over the top sometimes. You guys are like, I think Jessica wrote saying that Maya might explode if she wins. Like, literally explode. So,
that's
crazy.
But that's why we were such a good team. Is we went into this race, and the deal was, from what I know, she gets herself so excited, she gets herself a headache. So I had to, like, remind her to breathe, and she had to remind her to drink water. But that was our deal going in.
Okay. Maya, I want to know, where was the victory lap? You know, you guys are like, come on some random leg, and Phil's like, all right, you guys are the 4th team to arrive, and you run around like you won like the Indy 500, and you win the Amazing Race, and where was the celebration?
So, in Malta, where the first victory lap occurs, I thought that we were in 5th. Like, we thought Tim and TJ were ahead of us. Every leg before that, we knew what place we were in. Like, we just knew where we were within the team. And I was shocked. I was like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe it. And then it hit me that we were going off in, like, 9. And I kind of just lost it. I just express myself through running and screaming and hopping and everything else. And, I mean, if you can't tell, I literally love the Amazing Race. And for someone who's been a fan of it for years and being able to get that far at that point, you know, going into leg 9 and doing it with integrity, doing it without ever compromising who we are, was very important and hopefully inspiring other people along the way. So, yeah, I mean, I got out and Phil was like, what the heck? This girl, yes, but I loved it. I threw him on a smile on a ton of people's faces, including mine. So.
All right, so I want to ask you guys, and you guys have a public forum now. What do you guys say to Amazing Race fans who say that wasn't fair, that at the final 4, you guys should have been eliminated, but you weren't? They let 4 teams go into the final leg of the Amazing Race. I want you guys to make the case why this is absolutely 100% a great win of the Amazing Race.
Well, for starters, we don't make the rules. We just play by them. Done and done with that. So, I mean, there definitely are a lot of people out there that are like, oh, the scientists should have been eliminated, blah, blah, blah. We don't make the rules.
Yeah.
Only can start.
Well, and also you think about the last 4 teams. 3 of the 4 of them had finished last in the leg. So the race is one of those things that's unpredictable, which is why you always have to be going hard. You never know what can happen.
All right.
And honestly, if we didn't win, it probably wouldn't be saying that. So it goes with the layer of we won as well. But we definitely do have supporters out there that were rooting for us and, you know, cried when we almost got out and cried when we won. So, I mean, tears of joy, tears of sadness. So it, or the other way, tears of sadness, tears of joy. And so I just miss my husband.
All right. I know you guys are on the move. But luckily, that didn't happen on the Amazing Race. So how about
a few times? So our whole thing was, we knew going into the last leg, like, if we could get the challenges at the same time as other teams, we knew we could win. The whole season, we were great at challenges. Directions were just really, really our downfall. I think 3 times we sat in second place, and we just, like, I don't know we end up. We don't get to see a lot of the countryside of Morocco, and we get a tour of Copenhagen that we ordinarily wouldn't have had.
All right, so let me ask you guys about when Phil told you that you were not eliminated at that final four. What was your reaction to finding out that news? Because I thought maybe that Amy was in such bad shape at that point that Amy, you might have been, what? I have to keep racing? Can I sit down and rest for a little bit?
I was so excited. I was in shock. I mean, I was almost crying. I was so much shocked. When you're that tired, you're that down, you know you're last. We showed up and Phil was like, you need to sit down. I was like, no, it'll be fine. Just need a little bit of water, it'll be fine. All the medics came in. I was probably sitting there for about 20 minutes. And then he stands up, prepared to be eliminated. You're already upset. He's like, you're still in it. We just were shocked. Maya screamed, and I just stood there. And I couldn't even, I was speechless.
And that's how we are. Like, when we found out we were going on the race, and we got the call from casting, and Amy's sitting there in shock, and I'm like jumping up and down, doing backflips and all this stuff. So it's literally just who we are. And I don't know what was going on in my head. I know what was going on in my body, and I think everyone was able to see that. Like, I literally just freaked out. I just couldn't believe it. Like, because the whole entire race, I had a gut feeling that we were going to take it, and we were going to win it, and we only needed to win one way. And so that was our chance in and confirming that, for me, that we're going to win this. Like, I had no doubt.
There's footage of us out there somewhere. Every leg we started, we're like, you only got to win one leg, and we think we can do it.
And you guys did. And you did it.
When Jim and Misty beat us running to the in the Philippines on leg one of the Philippines, I was like, I'm going to win it. I'm going to win that leg. If I was going to win one, you know, that's when the last one. So.
All right, tell me about this. Tell me about this rivalry that you guys had with the wrestlers, which really heated up in Singapore when they lied to you, and then it spilled over even into the finale when they were pissed that you guys were still in the race. Do you guys have anything to say about the wrestlers? And let me just say, I'm going to talk to them. And I guarantee that they're going to have things to say about you. So don't be all politically correct.
There are no hard feelings against Brooke and Rob. Brooke and Rob didn't understand and know the game like we understood and knew the game. Those are two different tactics in going into the race. And we played the game smarter than they did because they didn't understand the game. And the whole thing of us supposedly not telling them that the guy in Singapore had the clue. They didn't watch enough of the race to understand that the clue is not always the clue box. They're like, are we dumb or something? I'm like, yeah.
We pointed them exactly in the square. They're standing next to the clue box, and they're like, what? We honestly didn't know upset about them for watching the episode.
Yeah, no clue. And for them, you know, that's the way that they played the race. We would have never turned on them. We could have U-turned them in Singapore, so we chose not to. We chose to U-turn Bethany and Adam because we were going to stick to the agreement that we had made.
For us, it was a smarter move to try to get out one of the teams that keeps winning a leg. I mean, that's the cycle from the Clippers.
Yeah.
And in Rob, we were kind of even footing with them. They muscle their way through stuff, and we played a smart race.
And we knew coming in the end that we could beat Brooke and Rob. We knew that they kind of lose it sometimes. They argued a lot. They weren't as focused, so we knew that we could beat them if it came down to it. We just had a gut feeling that we could. And looking at it, we knew that we could. And we knew that Brooke was going to be pissed off because although they talked about us a lot, saying that, you know, oh, they're the candy girls. They, you know, they just make ice cream and candy. Like, what are they going to do with their ice cream at us? We knew that there was some underlying intimidation by us only because we had the smarts. And they saw that as a threat. Most people just never admitted it. Until at the end, when Brooke said, if it comes down to an intellectual challenge, they're probably going to take it. And call that following. I don't know what you want to call it, but it sure didn't work out in our favor. But at the end of the day, we love Brooke and Rob. And I don't mind the game to be played because it technically helped us. So
okay.
Keep it going.
Well, you guys now, you won $1 million. Is there any truth to the rumors you guys are headed back to Singapore for some more massage treatment?
You know what's funny? I got an email from someone with a Groupon for a cupping massage. Don't think I'll use it. Don't think I'll get it. But, you know, it's an experience.
Yeah.
I actually wanted to do the crabs there. And I was like, this will be more fun. It's going to be painful. We know it's going to be painful. We watched the foot massage from whatever season that was, 14, I think.
Yes.
We knew it was going to be painful, but at the end of the day, that's way funnier. That's way more of a story to tell at the end than peeling crabs.
Yeah,
all right.
We like to peel crabs.
All right, well,
I told people to go back and do cupping. I actually loved it. I mean, yeah, it hurt, but I actually really liked it. So,
all right, well, guys, I know you have a busy day of press today. Enjoy your win. Congratulations. You guys had great chemistry all season.
Thank you.
All right. All the best. Hope we talk to you guys in the future, okay? Take care.
Thank you.
All right, everybody, there you have it. That was Amy and Maya here on Rob Has a Podcast. And first off, let me apologize for the phone connection on that one. I know Amy and Maya were in the car, and, you know, it's never great when you get somebody calling in from the car. But, you know, CBS does their best to schedule these interviews with people. And I have to say that I have to take some responsibility on this one because I'm getting ready to get out of here to go back to New York. And I couldn't do the time that I got originally scheduled for Amy and Maya on Friday. And I was like, all right, well, I have this block of time that I can do the interviews from. And if I can't do it, I'm like, well, they're not going to win anyway. So if we don't hear from Amy and Maya, you know, we'll catch up with them next season. And CBS was good enough to, I didn't say I'll do the interview whenever, but CBS was like, okay, well, how about 7 a.m. Pacific time? Does that work? And I was like, sure, yeah, I can do that. That's before I'm going to get out of here. So it's early over here doing these exit interviews at 7 a.m. So I'm sure Amy and Maya are on the road and they might be headed to wherever they're going to be doing the rest of their exit press for today. So thanks to Amy and Maya and CBS for making it work. I'm sorry that they were in the car and it wasn't great audio, but I have a feeling we'll be hearing from them again on the podcast somewhere along the way when we get to Amazing Race 26. All blind dates. I don't know what Amy and Maya know about blind dates, but we'll see what they know about Amazing Race 26. All right, before we get to our next exit interview, that's going to be with Jim and Misty talking about their experience on the race. I want to take a moment and thank our sponsor for this exit interview special of the final four Amazing Race teams, and those are our friends over at Nature Box. And Nature Box has got free snacks for you. Yes, they're giving you the chance to get some free snacks, and you don't have to be a food scientist to know that candy bars, potato chips are not good for you. You should be eating healthier snacks from Nature Box, especially, look, it's going to be January 1st, New Year's resolution. I know myself, I look in the mirror and I say, okay, January 1st, I'm going to get back in shape. You know, it's going to be a free for all the next week or so with all the dessert. But once we get to the new year, I want to start eating healthy again. And that's why Nature Box is a great way to go, because they've got healthy, delicious snacks that you won't feel guilty about eating because they're better for you. They've got zero artificial flavors, no artificial colors, no artificial sweeteners, no grams of trans fat, no high fructose corn syrup. You'll even find snacks with no added sugar and without gluten ingredients, which will make you end up looking much more like Brooke and Robbie by the end of the year if you snack on Nature Box all year long. Probably. And you have to work out like Jim also. So in the afternoon slump, when you're hungry and irritable like I am most of the time, do what I do. Grab some peanut butter nom noms from Nature Box, or baked sweet potato fries, or dark cocoa almonds, or I actually just had some pumpkin spice nom noms from Nature Box. Also, very delicious. So good. Much better for you than the other snacks out there. You've got a chance to get free snacks from Nature Box with a trial box featuring five of the most popular snacks. You heard me. Free snacks. Start your free trial. Go to naturebox.com/RHAP. Stay full. Stay strong. Do what I do and snack smarter. Go to naturebox.com/RHAP. Get a free trial box of delicious snacks and get the new year started on the right foot. Let's go ahead and bring in our next exit interview. And also, no added sugar means less cavities also, and less trips to the dentist chair to go see these two who were fantastic, amazing racers. I really thought that they had it there at the end. Let's patch in Jim and Misty. Are you there?
Hi, Rob.
Hey guys. Good morning. How are you?
We're great. How are you?
I'm doing very good. Very excited to talk to you guys. You guys were very, very fun on this past season of The Amazing Race. And I thought you guys had it. I thought you were right there. You guys probably did too.
Yeah, we did. We did, you know. We're disappointed, but, you know, maybe something else will be coming in the future that
we ran a good race. We just got outperformed on the final leg.
All right, well, let's talk about that final leg, because okay. If I'm you guys, and I think you guys are probably have a better disposition than I do, but I get cranky. So I would say, if I were you guys, hey, every other season of The Amazing Race, they've got three teams in that final leg, and here we are, and we come in second to the team that shouldn't even have been there if it was only three teams in the final leg. Is that frustrating to you guys?
Rob, honestly, not really. Like, when we saw the TV girls in the airport, it didn't bother us. We, you know, in life, we approach things. Me and Misty have this term that we use that comes from our practice management group, that we stay in our bubble. And what that means is we affect the things that we can change, and we really don't give a lot of thought to the things that we can't. We don't worry about the economy. We worry about what we do in our business. So on the race, we don't worry about the course that the producers lay out. We just do what we have to do and get it done. So when we saw them, the other teams were uptight. I wasn't. I was kind of relieved because I knew a team was going to get eliminated. So at this point, I went from being a 2 out of 3 chance of finishing the race to a 3 out of 4 chance of finishing the race.
Yes.
The people I feel bad for are Robbie and Brooke.
No, don't feel bad for them. They would have been
11. They got no prize. And they didn't even get to finish. So in Amazing Race history, they are the only team to win leg 11 and not get to finish the race.
Yeah, I know. It was kind of crazy. Now, yeah, Jim, you called the Sweet Scientists, you called them low-hanging fruit, but you also said you wanted that maybe we should kick them in the shins, correct? That doesn't sound like totally not worried about them.
Yeah, low-hanging fruit. I mean, that was just my analysis. Statistically, they were the weakest team. The only leg that we got beat by the girls outside of the final leg was in Copenhagen, where we completely self-destructed. And it wasn't that they beat us. We just beat ourselves. So in my eyes, they really were not, you know, were not much of a threat. I mean, the whole kicker in the shin, obviously, I mean, you've seen 11 episodes of how we behave and whatnot. That was a joke.
I didn't see you kick anybody. Yes.
if anybody takes that seriously, then I feel bad for them because they obviously live their life without a sense of humor. So some people did send us some messages on, you know, on Facebook about what poor sportsmanship that is. And it's like, seriously, if you can't recognize that that's a joke, then like you have bigger issues than, you know, telling me that I'm a bad sportsman. So,
yeah. Tell me, how close did you guys come to, because it's always hard to tell in the edit of it, makes it seem like it's like neck and neck, but what was the ultimate time difference between you two?
It was probably over 30 minutes.
Oh, 30 minutes.
And there was probably about the same amount of time between Adam and Bethany and us also. So there was a good spread between everybody. It's not the way it appeared on TV,
yeah.
But it wasn't that close. That challenge took hours. It was real difficult. There was a pretty big spread.
Yeah, Missy, I have to give you credit because I'd still be out there. I mean, that challenge was really brutal in that final leg. I wouldn't be able to remember any of that stuff.
Well, you know, don't get me wrong, the memorization component of it was extremely difficult because you were remembering all the cities that you had traveled to, the order in which you traveled to them, and then your corresponding color and the corresponding number on that color. And some of the cities had the same number. It wasn't like there were 9 cities with numbers 1 through 9 with them. You know, Singapore, and we were not allowed to take any kind of notes. We had to just put it all up in your brain and store it until you were ready to spit it back, you know, on the board. But what got me, that was difficult though. I mean, I'm not taking away from that at all. The part for me that being able to find the last container, and, you know, I wanted to bang my head against the wall afterwards because London was the container that I could not find, and it was an obvious container. Some of the containers had smaller writing. Some of them were down, like, I don't know, like quarters that were kind of hard to get in.
that were not obvious. They were not obviously written on the side of the container. London was very obvious. It was written very big. So, you know, that was my mistake. But, you know, you're in the heat literally for hours. I mean, I was getting sunburned while I was out there. It's the stress of knowing that it's the final leg. It's seeing the other teams, you know, Amy and, you know, Bethany running around in distress like I was. It just kind of elevated the situation. And knowing that I was just one just made it even more stressful because I found all the others quickly. It was just one container that I know I walked around for at least an hour looking for London. So, yeah, it was just a really stressful, but, you know, it obviously just wasn't meant to be. Amy was able to find them all and find them quicker. And, you know, we all got to that challenge. We, Adam and Bethany pulled up, I would say, you know, minutes ahead of us. And then Amy and Maya and Jim and I were there. We were getting out of the car at the same time. So Amy and Maya were just slightly behind us. But, you know, essentially we all started that particular challenge at the same time. So we were on even ground at that point. So it was just a matter of who could find them and remember them the fastest. So. Yeah.
I want to know about the save, because this was the first season with the save and you guys had it the whole way through. You didn't have to use it yet. That one leg that was the non-elimination. How did having the save change your strategy running this race from what you thought you were going to do?
You know, really, it didn't end up changing our strategy much at all, but it definitely, it was definitely nice to know every day that we had the save legs 1 through 9, that we were not going home that day, that no matter how bad the day was, that we had the save. So that definitely, you know, we perform best in, you know, a lower stress environment. So, you know, that definitely helped us in that regard. But, you know, it really didn't affect the way we ran the race. Now, for instance, say the fast forward had been, you know, the fast forward was on leg 9. But if we hadn't had that time disadvantage and let's say it wasn't a surfing fast forward, well, then in that case, we would have considered doing the fast forward. Personally, I think the fast forward's a mistake, not for Adam and Bethany, but it was a big mistake for Kim and Allie, and not just in hindsight. But there are three teams in the lead, there are two teams behind, you're the strongest of the three teams in the lead, going for the fast forward is a mistake.
Were you guys relieved when Kim and Allie got eliminated? It seems like that you had to feel like they were your biggest competition at that point.
Yeah, we were definitely relieved. I mean, personally, I feel like if you put the teams in order of strength, I feel like Misty and I were the strongest team. I think statistically that, you know, plays out. I think Adam and Bethany were actually the second strongest team. And I think Kim and Allie were the third strongest team. But I think the three of us together, I don't think there's a big margin between us. So, but for some reason, and I don't know why, I kept having images of Kim and Allie beating us. And
yeah.
I was having nightmares for the first 8 legs of the race about them beating us. They always saw us winning. They were the only ones who kind of, you know, were able to break through my visualization of victory. And I kept seeing them beat us, and I was so relieved when they were eliminated. So,
well, it seemed like they wanted to beat you guys also.
Well, I think they're competitive enough that they're going to set their eyes on the strongest team. And I think they perceived us to be that outside of themselves. So we would have done the same thing had we been in their shoes. But the only difference was, you know, we didn't know they were going to, I mean, that they were saying negative things behind our backs. I mean, obviously it's a race and, you know, you're free to do and behave any way you want. We were truthfully appalled at their behavior, but it just showed America why the alliance was formed on ferry. That's what we saw of them day in and day out that made us mistrust them. That's the behavior. They were isolated, would make comments, you know, they just nobody trusted them. So when they behave that way privately about Jim and I and were ugly and mean about us personally, you know, I was glad, even though it hurt my feelings, you know, as we watched it on TV at home, was also grateful that now America was getting to see the reason why that whole alliance formed, you know, and started by Brooke.
And Rob, real quick, back to the whole save thing, you asked if it affected our strategy. It really did not, but I definitely think it affected the strategy of the race, because if we hadn't had the save in leg number nine, we probably would have been the team that the other teams were conspiring against to U-turn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and conceivably may have even been U-turned in leg number five. So I think it affected other teams' strategies, but I don't think it affected us.
Okay. I know you guys only have a couple minutes left, so let's try to go a little rapid fire. Jim, one of the things that you talked about was your strategy of always taking a physical task over something that was going to be more finesse, or were you going to be judged on. When did you decide that was going to be how you ran the race?
You know, that was just from observation, from watching the race at home. I felt like, you know, typically the more physically grueling and demanding tasks, if you could complete them efficiently, they just seem, from an outsider's perspective, to be faster. So, you know, that was my only rationale for that.
All right. Did it get uncomfortable at any point with Phil's constant admiration for your teeth?
Well, I mean, we're dental nerds. We love teeth. So anytime anybody wants to talk about teeth, like, we are game. Like, we think that's so cool.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's great that they highlighted it. Our teeth look a little bit ridiculous in digitally enhanced HD. You know, my brother called me after the first episode, and he's like, "Dude, did they whiten your teeth?" I'm like, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Your teeth are white, but they look ridiculous on TV." He's like, "What happened?" And I guess it's just that they're, you know, digitally enhanced HD, that all the colors are brighter and more vivid and whatnot.
But, it's great PR, right?
Yeah, it's great. Who knows? Hopefully, maybe Procter & Gamble have been watching. And, you know?
Yeah.
Who knows what lies ahead for us?
All right. So I want to know about, you know, in talking with some of the other teams, specifically Shelly and Nisi, they had said that, you know, there were, you know, people, you guys had been taking it hard on social media. Is that accurate? And how have you dealt with that?
Yeah, we have. I mean, there's a lot of haters out there, especially earlier on in the race. You know, when my, you know, confidence, arrogance, whatever you want to call it, you know, CBS wanted us to, we were the alpha team. So that's the role that we needed to play. And, you know, especially early on, people really didn't know how to take me and thought I was a complete jackass. And that's gotten better as things have gone on. And,
yeah,
you know, people, if you read now, you'll see, God, I hated them in the beginning, but they've really grown on me. So, but basically, we just do our best to ignore it. You know, there's a Mark Twain quote that, you know, you shouldn't argue with a fool because onlookers may not know the difference. And I've just chosen not to engage those people on social media. I feel bad for them. You know, if you have nothing better in your life to do than to track me down on Facebook and send me a hateful message, then, you know, you obviously have an empty life and way too much free time.
Yeah. All right. Well, guys, happy to hear that things sound like they're getting better. I thought you guys were great on the race. Have a great holiday, and hopefully we can talk more about the race down the line. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thanks so much.
Anytime. Right. Thank you, and you too.
Take care, guys.
Enjoy the holidays.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, everybody. There you have it. That was Jim and Misty. Not as much fun to interview them over the phone because I can't admire any teeth, but still a very good job there by Jim and Misty talking about Amazing Race 25. So, all right. So next we're going to segue to talking about the wrestlers coming up. But first, I want to take 30 seconds and play a promo for some of the other shows here on Podcast One that were actually named by iTunes for the best of 2014. Maybe a goal that we could aspire to on the best of 2015 list. But here are some of the shows that made the cut for iTunes best of 2014.
What do Rich Eisen and Snooki have in common? Well, how about they were both just selected as best new podcasts of 2014 by the editorial board of iTunes? Oh yeah, and you'll also find them and another 200 amazing shows at podcastone.com. While we're at it, let's not forget to congratulate Adam Carolla, as he continues his winning streak by being one of the most downloaded shows ever on iTunes.
That's correct, congratulations!
So if you want to find the best and most downloaded podcasts, there's only one place to go, podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
That's right. site, podcast1.com. Rob has a podcast. Rich Eisen, Snooki, all of the luminaries of Podcast One. We're all good friends now and we hang out. We're on a group text. Very, very fun. And also Podcast One has a lot of wrestling podcasts also. Stone Cold Steve Austin, Chris Jericho, Jim Ross, and which is the perfect segue for our next guests, which are the wrestlers from The Amazing Race 25. Let's go ahead and patch in the team that you either love them or you hate them. I love them. Here they are. It's Brooke and Robbie. Brooke and Robbie, are you there?
Hey, what's up, bro?
Brooke and,
hi.
Brooke and Robbie, how are you guys doing?
Wonderful.
Yes. Well, I'm very excited to talk to you guys because I thought you guys were such fun TV on The Amazing Race. And these last couple of weeks, I thought you guys really stood out on the show. So fantastic job. I'm sorry it didn't work out, but let's jump in. Let's get into this because you guys, I thought coming into the finale, you guys were at your highest point. You guys had the great leg where you went from worst to first. And then you guys got to the U.S. and it's like things fell apart. It's like you guys got hit with the steel chair.
Well, that's the problem. The problem is that we just went back to the U.S. Me and Brooke are out of everyone on our wrestling roster. We're known for being like, you know, like people that aren't good with directions and we never drive and stuff. And we were doing great when we were out of the country. So something clicked, but then we went back to the U.S. and we went back to our normal routine.
I know. It's so embarrassing.
Don't be embarrassed. It was fantastic. So how about where Amy and Maya didn't get eliminated at the final four? And I know Brooke in particular, you were not happy about this.
Don't say in particular. I was just the only one that really voiced it. I'm just really honest. That's how I am. Obviously, you see that through the race. And I was just, Rob and I were, I mean, we were, everybody was. Everybody was very frustrated. You know, we just got done racing and we didn't get a prize for our last leg, and then I see them, and I was just like, no, I was over it at that point. And I wanted to let them know that because they just came up to us as if like, oh, hey, guys, everything's all cool. And we're like, what? No. What? No way. It's going to be a sport in the final leg. So, yeah, I was very upset. I think everybody, though, was.
Because you guys had been feuding with them since the leg back in Singapore when you almost got them eliminated.
Really wasn't a feud, though, right, Rob? It wasn't like,
well, I don't know if it was a feud, but it is now. So me and Brooke have already discussed that we want to challenge them to a tag team wrestling
match. Whoa!
So I'm down if she's down. If they accept the challenge, they can put $1 million on top of a ladder. We can make it a ladder match. Whoever climbs up there first and grabs it, we get our second shot at the money.
Is there a wrestling equivalent to what happened with Amy and Maya with getting to compete in the final leg?
Yeah, it's like, you know, someone who loses all their matches, who's like not a contender at all and like a terrible wrestler getting a shot at the world
title. Yeah.
They don't deserve.
How come they didn't have a speed bump? That's what I really want to know. Why did everybody else that got saved had a speed bump, but they didn't have a speed bump? It's kind of, another thing.
I asked the same question, but I was told because it was a super leg and not the end of one leg. It's the same reason why you guys didn't get a prize, I guess, because it was.
But every other season they got prizes. They just didn't show it. I found that out. And I, that's why I'm like, excuse me, you're going to be calling me to let me know what my prize is?
I'm still waiting for mine to come to the house thinking they forgot. I think the whole thing is just a head up at CBS for The Amazing Race. Just they have a conspiracy against me and Brooke.
Is that true?
Too funny and too good looking and too entertaining, and they just have to run out against us from the get go. I mean, it's pretty obvious, right?
Now, what is the status of you guys? If you don't mind me asking, are you guys dating? Are you still together?
We're just friends now.
Just friends now. Okay.
Yeah, we're like
still good friends and tag partners and wrestlers.
All right. Are you good enough friends to do the race again if you had the opportunity?
I think so.
Of course. This time we would win $1 million. There'd be no final four. There'd be a final three and we'd be winning $1 million.
Can you guys go back to when you guys were in the leg in Singapore and you had the opportunity to U-turn Kim and Allie and you guys decided not to do it? I didn't understand why you didn't just U-turn them if, you know, it didn't hurt anything to do it. Why not U-turn the cyclists at that point?
because we knew we were going to make it anyway, and we didn't want them to end up. We just felt like we didn't have to screw anyone over because we knew that we were making it no matter what. So it's pretty much just as simple as that. Right, yeah. Brooke?
Yeah, I know. I wanted to save it just in case. Like, I thought that there might have been an extra U-turn board. There's always only two U-turns, and I thought for the 25th anniversary, they might throw in another one. But that wasn't it. They kept four people, four teams. That was, like, the thing they chose to do anyway. So we just thought it was ridiculous for us to waste it and screw someone over.
Yeah.
So we didn't do it. Somebody was already behind us, and we just wanted to make it to the mat.
So how was your relationship with the dentist? Did you guys get along well with Jim and Misty?
Yeah, actually we did. Like, they're not really as, I mean, they're annoying. They're not as annoying as you see it on TV. Like, they're actually pretty cool people, and you know, they're gonna, everyone kind of looks a certain way on TV, but you have so much time to really get to know each other. There's a lot of downtime. Actually, like, really good people.
Robbie, you co-sign?
Yeah, I agree. They are. I mean, you know, they're cocky and confident, but, you know, so are me and Brooke. So anyone that's good at something should be cocky and confident, you know? And so I think they're cool people. I dig them.
Brooke, you were very vocal all throughout the season about a lot of the things you didn't like that were going on, whether it was challenges or whether it was different smells in different parts of the world. Do you want to travel more now or less after doing the Amazing Race?
Okay. So first, my complaining comes from I have zero patience and I hate losing. So, like, every moment I just, like, oh, it's over. You know, like, now if I got to do it again, I know the feel of it, and I know that there's always equalizers, and it's definitely not over till it's over. But that's where, like, my complaining comes. It's not really, like, a challenge. As far as smells, I am so incredibly sensitive to smells. Like, I just am, and I think it came off as, like, I didn't like the country or I couldn't stand it. No, like, my gagging was, like, gagging. I thought I was going to vomit a lot of it. I just couldn't hold it in. It doesn't mean I would never want to go back and do a challenge again or not travel the world. I love traveling the world, and that's what I do with my job. But, yeah.
Yeah, but it's not just out-of-the-country stuff. Brooke hates smells. Like, you could be anywhere, the gym, at the mall, and she'll sense, like, a smell that's, like, five stores away.
Yeah.
Like, she just, it's almost like her nostrils are, like, looking for a smell. Like, when we would wake up in the morning, she wouldn't give me a kiss in the morning for, like, 3 hours. Even if I'd brushed, I'd eaten. Like, she wouldn't be anywhere remotely close. No, dude, we just woke up. It's like, it's 4 p.m. We woke up like 5 hours ago. But it's like a certain time limit to get a certain amount of closeness to her because she feels like she smells things.
I just hate that. I don't know why I've always been like that. So, like, you go to a country where it smells like death. Oh.
Yeah. It smells like death. Yeah. Good sense of smell is more of a curse than a blessing.
It really is. If I'm on a plane, oh my God, I'll be miserable. Like, I can't do it.
Now, how did you guys end up on The Amazing Race? How do you go from wrestling to doing, you know, a crazy show where you're racing around the world?
It's pretty normal to me because we're on a crazy show every week for wrestling anyway.
Yeah. You mean, like, how did we become a part of the show?
Yes.
I got scouted, and Rob was something that he wanted to do before. And, you know, whenever they had contacted me, like, you know, who could you bring? And I'm like, oh, yeah, my boyfriend, he's awesome. He's a wrestler. And then whenever, you know, I showed them a clip of us, they were just fell in love with us immediately. So that's kind of like how it came about. They loved the hashtag, the wrestlers. Thought it was really cool. And we bring a different element to the show. And I think we did.
Now, Robbie, you wrestle with Jesse Godders, right?
Correct.
Now, have you guys talked about what that's like? Of course, that we all know him from his many stints on Big Brother. Have you guys talked about what it's like to be part of this crazy reality TV world now?
Well, first of all, it's pretty crazy that, you know, we're former 2-time tag champs in wrestling. We're the only wrestling tag team in history where both of us are now former reality stars.
Wow.
It's pretty big and crazy, and I think that's going to be a big deal moving forward in wrestling. But, I mean, he kind of smartened me up to a lot of it beforehand. And, you know, we think wrestling fans are crazy, but I'm kind of learning that reality show fans are crazy, too. Like, wait, like stalkers and crazy messages and people waiting for me in airports and stuff. It's been pretty wild the past few months.
Is that true, Brooke? Do you get crazy messages from reality fans?
Yeah, you know, it's weird because, like, wrestling fans, I don't really get, like, noticed at normal places. It's, like, wherever the show is or airports. But I'll in the post office, like, you'll hear, oh, my God, are you on the raising rights? Are you Brooke? Are you, like, the wrestler? Or if I go to the grocery store or I had a gym or I went to Sex Liquor and they start freaking out and screaming and telling the whole store about the race and how great Rob and I are. And, yeah, it's definitely been a lot different.
Is that better or worse?
Oh, it's awesome. I mean, Rob and I are entertainers, so of course we're hams. We love the attention.
Can you talk a little bit about what it was like to race against Bethany and Adam and Bethany and the Soul Surfers? Why do you say that, Brooke?
Because I'm so sick of getting asked that because I feel like the entire race was pegged around her, which I'm sorry. Like, I feel like all 12 teams should have been that way. She is an awesome girl. She's strong. They obviously had me say that about 5 million times on the race.
Yeah.
It was also our race too. I think it's a great story, but she's been living for a very long time with one arm. She killed it. We see it, but there's also 12 other teams. I mean, 11 other teams.
Will you challenge Adam and Bethany to a wrestling match like you did with the Sweet Scientists?
They can wrestle the winners of us and the Scientists.
Wow. It can't be a three-way ladder match?
That just gets messy. All right, fine. I'm in. Three-way ladder match.
Well, that's very, very fun. You guys, I loved watching you guys on the race. I really do hope that you guys come back, and all the best to both of you. How do we keep up with what you guys are doing?
Our Twitter accounts. Mine is at Robbie E Impact at Twitter and Instagram, and then Brooke
is Real Brooke Adams on Instagram and Twitter.
All right. Well, all the best to you guys. Have a great holiday, and hope to talk to you again soon.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right. Take care. Bye. All right, everybody. There you have it. Brooke and Robbie from The Amazing Race. And I really did enjoy watching them. I'm sure you could tell, but it was very fun. I thought they were a very fun team. Good TV. And I do hope if they ever do, I hope they don't do another Amazing Race All-Stars, but I hope if they do, Brooke and Robbie get to come back. And they're very, very fun. Anyway, so that is going to do it for my share of exit interviews for today. Next up, I'm going to throw it over to Jessica Leese, and she's going to have the interview with Adam and Bethany. I feel like Jon Stewart throwing it over to Colbert, even though that's not going to happen anymore. Maybe me to Jessica Leese could be the new Jon Stewart to Colbert. All right, here we go. So Jessica, take it away with Adam and Bethany.
It's Jessica from Rob Has a Podcast. It's great to talk to you guys.
All right, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. I gotta say, guys, I was a little heartbroken to see you guys at the end. You're my favorites pretty much from the time I recognized you in Times Square, and it was looking pretty good. So what happened?
Well, it came down to me memorizing all these different numbers, but that was not my specialty. But no, we're so stoked. Just being in the final, and, you know, going into the final, we believe we could win, and we have the intention of doing our best, but at the end of the day, we're just really stoked with our overall performance on the race, and yeah, our relationship is still intact, and yeah, I have to say I'm pretty happy for Amy and Maya, too.
Yeah, so how surprised were you guys to see them at the beginning of the leg? Like, did you feel a little bit cheated that you were going to have to compete against three teams now?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think everyone kind of felt a little frustrated that four teams were going in the final. This is the first time it's ever happened. And, you know, with four teams going in, that increased your chance of being eliminated through the leg. So, yeah.
Yeah, it was definitely kind of like they're really nice girls and stuff, but, you know, when you're working your butt off to, like, win the race and keep going, and then all of a sudden, like, they're still there. You're like, okay. smart race producers.
They know how to work their emotions. But, you know, but that worry kind of went away, honestly, when we got in our cars in L.A. and we saw the wrestlers take a wrong turn, and I'm like, oh, we're going to be all right.
Yeah, so the way that we saw it unfold on TV was that it looked like you guys were trying to lose them all police chase style. Is that what was...
Oh, no.
Not really. I think we were behind the wrestlers. And then we knew that they weren't very good with direction, so we weren't planning on, like, helping them out in the finale. Like, at that point, everyone's on their own race. And, we had both recently spent time in L.A., so we were kind of feeling a little bit comfortable, like, familiar with the freeways around there. And, yeah, so we were just going for it.
Yeah, you seemed very comfortable. It was one of the few, you know, one of half of the teams to not get lost at any point. So how do you really feel about Amy and Maya? I mean, you're certainly stoked for them, and the fans didn't seem to have seen them as a threat going up into the final leg. Did their 11th hour surge surprise you, or are they stronger than we're giving them credit for?
Oh, I think they're stronger than everyone gives them credit for. Like, they're very smart girls. They're obviously great with direction, and especially in that last leg. And, in our minds, they were, like, the top two threats along with the division.
Maya, you know, she's an athletic girl, and she didn't have her little... injury, she would have been hanging right up there with Maya, but I think running physically doesn't win the race. It's using your brain properly and making the right decisions at the right time, and they had that ability, and you know, they deserve the win, I think. So yeah, congrats to that.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things you'd never really comprehend until you've been out there is how much grace under pressure is required to get far in the race. And you guys seemed like you were kind of the rock stars of that. Do you think that your surfing experience had informed the way that you were able to cope with stress on the race?
Yeah, I think like a little bit of both of us have a competitive background in sports, and then also just being comfortable with traveling and being able to make split-second decisions kind of wisely. We're both kind of naturally, I'd say we're naturally pretty good at it. And we think very like-minded, so we're able to kind of have good unity with making decisions.
Yeah. We knew going into the race would be really stressful and we'd be sleep-deprived, whatever, going to come our way. So we knew that, you know, we may not be at our best. So when we're not at our best, we're not going to hold it against each other. We're not going to, you know, fight with one another. And yeah, because we, at the end of the day, it's not worth it. We know that we'll love each other and we're going to work things out to make the race, you know, the best it could be for us and excel. And we're super stoked with how things turned out.
Yeah. Was there ever a point where you really felt any aspect of that threatened at all? Like, were you ever at a point where you wanted to kill each other? Because we sure didn't see it if it happened on the show.
maybe when I didn't have enough food to eat, I just got all like back.
When I probably got the most upset was when we were in the Philippines and Adam missed, like, their clue. And we're kind of, like, roaming around this psycho, like, marketplace, like, not really knowing where we're going and not having the exact directions was pretty stressful. But
yeah.
I kind of just, I'm not, like, the type to, like, blow up and get angry. I'm more, like, I just get quiet and was hoping for the best at that point.
She got kind of silent, so I knew she was a little frustrated.
Yeah, I can't imagine. They always have those teams that yell at each other, and I couldn't imagine any circumstance under which you guys would turn into one of those teams. So I'm not surprised that those circumstances just plain don't exist. So what was the hardest thing you guys had to do on the show?
The last challenge.
Yeah, I mean, the lyric Copenhagen directions were really hard, and that was probably our weakest place. So, maybe that, just like finding our way around that city was probably like one of the harder things we did.
Yeah, that thing was huge because we were like, it was past midnight, and we were just felt like we had lost. We thought we were the last team to arrive. We were just completely lost. We didn't know where we were in Copenhagen. Getting mixed directions from the locals. So, yeah. That might have been our hardest leg.
Wow. Yeah, it was the first time, definitely the first time you guys stumbled. You were making it look easy up until then.
Yeah.
I think it even surprised me, like, I frequently would forget that, you know, Bethany's hook is that she does everything with one arm. Half the time you would not even have been able to, you know, you wouldn't have been able to tell. I don't think anything appeared to have slowed you down, Bethany. Is that accurate? Like, did you ever reach a point where you felt like you were struggling more than the other teams?
Sometimes I would feel like a little uncomfortable when Adam and I were working together, and like for example in Morocco, he would just kind of carry this big old like food truck thing, and I was just like walking alongside of him, like watching him do this heavy load, and I'm like, not helping really. But I guess it helps with him being strong.
You picked the right partner, certainly. So how did you guys get hooked up with the show anyway? Have you been fans of the show all along?
I had only seen a few episodes, actually, but it was Bethany's idea. She suggested, like, hey, we should do the race someday. And so we put together a tryout video, went through all the interview process, and yeah, we got on.
Well, that's not surprising.
Getting on the race was like a challenge in itself, but
yeah.
We made the cut.
Well, of course you did. I mean, I think you're the first amazing racer to have had a movie made about your life. And even the final leg, we see this, you guys stop at the fire station and the firefighter knows who you are. And is that something that happened a lot on the race, or was that the only time?
Every now and then, but we're always moving pretty fast, so I don't think people like would catch on fast enough. But I remember in the Philippines, there's quite a few people that recognized me, and a few random spots in Europe. And
yeah.
No, I don't think Morocco. I don't remember.
Morocco's not a big surfing country, as far as I can tell.
I've actually surfed there before doing the Amazing Race, but yeah, I think it's mostly tourism that goes there to surf, but there's a few locals that surf too.
Yeah, had you been to any of the other locations beforehand? I mean, apart from LA, which we've discussed.
Yeah, we had been to New York together, like, actually only a few months before the race started, and so we were tripping out when we found out that we were starting out in New York. We were like, oh my gosh. And then I had been to London, but just going there, like, it gave me no advantage whatsoever. I had no clue where we were. Yeah, I didn't feel any advantage by having gone there before.
So I definitely, before we wrap up, I wanted to go back and talk about something that happened a few weeks ago with the Fast Forward in Singapore, because This was a really unusual call you guys made. The teams in the back of the pack almost never make the call to go for the fast forward, even if it is something that they do for a living. Like, what was your rationale, and did you have a backup plan?
My rationale, we were kind of at the end of the rope, pretty much. We had come in on the last flight. The dentist, we were hanging with them, and they had their say. So we knew the target was on our back with the U-turn. So as we got in the taxi, we were trying to make the decision. Okay, do we gamble, go for the fast forward? Will the bikers have finished it already, or do we gamble and try to power out the normal route and take on the U-turn? So we were really 50-50 on the edge, and we decided to put all our chips in on the fast forward because we thought possibly the bikers would be there and maybe they wouldn't have finished it yet because we knew Bethany had done the wave hops before.
Yeah, I've done the wave hops and I knew how hard it was. It really isn't much like surfing. I think the only thing is just being coordinated like that would help, but so I figured the bikers wouldn't. I mean, they're very athletic, but I knew it would be really challenging. So I was like, well, maybe they won't have done it, and we're in last anyway, so let's go for it.
Yeah, it was pretty exciting watching it on TV, seeing how close they were to getting it.
Yeah.
We'd show up, and it was almost like we psyched them out, like a mental game. Threw them off, and then we came in and got it, like a try.
Yeah, you were definitely a more strategic team than I think people would have guessed going in. Like, you weren't upfront about it like some of the other teams, but I got the sense that you were always playing the game insofar as you could be a strategist on the show. And I really enjoyed watching you. So
we weren't just chased out surfers.
definitely much more than that. So what's next for you guys? What are your plans now?
Well, we're kind of playing low right now, recovering from long travel here. Bethany's got her film, her Surf Like a Girl, it's called. It's highlighting her professional surfing career. And so we'll be going on filming trips, surfing around the world. And yeah, that's the main thing going on. Enjoying the holidays with the family.
Yeah, it's pretty early in Hawaii there right now, isn't it? We're like almost the end of our day here.
Yeah, we're actually finding some surf right now. We're in the truck headed some way.
Wasting no time.
Yeah.
All right, well, congratulations, you guys. It's been really fun watching you guys all season, and hopefully we'll have some chance to catch up with you again in the future.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you too. Thanks.
All right, everybody, there you have it. That was Jessica Leese talking with Adam and Bethany here on our final Amazing Race exit interview podcast of 2014. Thank you so much to Jessica, and what a great job she did all season long. And thanks to you guys for sticking with us for Amazing Race coverage all season. And it was a very, very fun season of Amazing Race. I'm definitely going to miss this season. And I thought it was clearly head and shoulders above, it was the best Amazing Race season that I've podcast about since we've been going. That's like since Amazing Race 20. So great job by everybody involved, and lots of fun teams on Amazing Race 25. Okay, so that's going to do it for me and Jess here on this podcast. And that's probably going to be the last podcast of the week. I did just upload the Happy Holidays. That's our Christmas special podcast. It's almost 4 hours long. That should keep you busy. If you get through that, I've also got the Evolution of Strategy, :30 Seasons of Survivor. Chapter one of my new audiobook with Josh Wigler is now up. It's available for free. It's six 6 hours long. We're doing one chapter a week during all of Survivor off season throughout the next year. So we're going to have 10 now and then 20 more chapters in the summer. If you want to check that out, you could go see that at robhasawebsite.com/store. You can get the whole Borneo chapter, almost 6 hours. That's completely for free. So if you have some more downtime this week, whether you're home from school or work or whatever, and you are traveling, you should check out the evolution of strategy and at least listen to chapter one completely for free at robhasawebsite.com/store. All right. Looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments. Have a very happy holiday to everybody out there. And to those of you guys celebrating Christmas, Merry Christmas to you guys this week. Hope it is a great one. Can't wait to get back going. Coming up here next week, we maybe a movie cast. Maybe we'll see. Definitely we'll have some podcasts, at least one or two in the week between Christmas and New Year's. And then we'll get back to full speed ahead once we get to the new year in January. So have a very happy holidays, a very happy new year. And we will talk to you again soon. Take care. Bye.
One race to rule them all, one race around the world, from the city to the sea, thanks to Travelocity. After you've crossed the finish, man, one place left after that, there must be somewhere you can go. They're gonna take you around the world, around the world, around.
That the show's over. Don't forget to go to naturebox.com and sign up to get your free sampler box of great tasting wholesome snacks. Forget the vending machine and start snacking smarter with delicious treats like barbecue kettle kernels. Go to naturebox.com/RHAP. That's naturebox.com/RHAP.